baby boomers. That means anyone born between 1946 and 1964. The older ones headed towards retirement. The younger ones perhaps thinking about it. And it's a daunting idea. If you want to know how to get better prepared, Chris Armstrong, CEO of Life's Next Steps, gives you some transition tips into retirement. Good morning. Welcome to CJD.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Now, when you talk about the baby boom, it's quite the range, as I mentioned, from 1946 to 1964. Let's start with the older ones at 65, the ones who've already retired.
This year, the first ones are turning 65. We know a lot about them. We know that they've been besieged with a whole bunch of information about how to retire financially, all this focus on the number. I heard you talking to the guy about gold earlier. You know, everybody wants to know the number, can they retire, et cetera, and so on. And our premise is that they've had a lot of information about that, not much information about building a roadmap for themselves in terms of what kind of retirement they want to have and the life they'd love to live.
Okay, now what kind of roadmap? How do they build this roadmap? I interviewed someone who wrote a book called The Laughing Boomer, and this is a lady who...
The Laughing Boomer?
Yes. The Laughing Boomer, and this is a lady who's managed to, she spends about 6 months of the year traveling around the world, living all over the place, and I think on an income of about $50,000 to $60,000 a year. What are some of the elements to look at the roadmap? How do you decide what it is you want to do when you don't have to rush to the office?
Well, I think you ought to start off with your strengths, and we believe you ought to have a strength-based retirement. Take a moment to step away from your life and figure out what are the things that you do well, what has stood you in good stead across your professional career, because building a life based on your strengths is a lot better than building, you know, going around trying to correct your weaknesses, especially when you get as old as I am. I think the other thing we like to do is to step back and take a look at what our dreams and passions have been. We may have put a lid on them over time for as we were trying to hold down a 40-hour-a-week gig, and this is the time when really we probably ought to really let them out of the bag and see whether or not our life can move in their direction, whether or not we can give them some life in our second chapter. But I think those two things are what we think are key elements, which is being strength-based and looking at your dreams and passions.
Chris Armstrong, CEO of Life's Next Steps. Gail on the line. Good morning. What's your question, Gail? Gail's not there. 514-790-0991. Star Talk. Text your question to 514-800. What would you tell a person who's a baby boomer? They're in their late 50s, 60s, and they have no intention. They don't want to retire. They want to continue working.
Well, number one, I tell them they're just about like everybody else. We look at all the research out there, Tommy, and the research tells us that between 60 and 80% of the people say they're never going to stop working. I think it's important for people to realize if you want to keep working because you want to be relevant and you want, you know, you want that meaning and purpose that work gives you, that's great. But if you're not having serious conversations with your employer about whether or not he's going to allow you to do that, then you might be thinking about how you would repurpose your skills. I mean, lots of people are going to work. Some of it's going to be paid. Some of it's going to be non-paid. But if you want to have paid work with your existing employer, you better not count on him unless you had a pretty straight-from-the-shoulder conversation with him about how long you can actually stay on and how you're going to have a glide path to a retirement that works for you.
Isn't it a problem, though, if someone's entire meaning and purpose comes from what they do for a living? Doesn't that mean they're ignoring who they are and they're just paying attention to what they do?
You raise a good point. I think our experience has been that people, especially the boomers, as you know, we lived through the longest period of secular prosperity in the history of North America, and everything has come to us pretty easily, and we have tended to count on our professional experience as the thing which defines us. I don't know whether that's good or bad, but it certainly is a huge hole to fill if you step away from that. You raise a good point about, well, if it's all that defines you now, shouldn't you be thinking about fleshing yourself out in other areas to be better or to have more opportunities when you retire? We talk to people about that in our workshops, and we guide them through this process, which we hope helps them find ways to find other chunks of meaning. You know, when you ask a guy what he's going to do when he retires, he says golf, 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 and more golf. And you know yourself that the time you spend on the job, you could never play that much golf.
Chris Armstrong, my guest, CEO of Life's Next Steps. If you're a baby boomer and want to have any questions, this is a good time to call, 514-790-0991. You can also text a question to 514-800. As people, I remember this ad campaign, I think it was the Bank of Montreal that had it. It's called Freedom 55.
Oh, no, that was London Life.
Well, yes, London Life, Freedom 55. Well, for many people, that came and went. They couldn't do Freedom 55. Are there many people who, when they realize that they're coming near retirement age, they realize they haven't prepared and they just delay it and say, well, okay, not at 55, then 65. And then when they get to that, they say, not at 65, how about 75?
You know, Employment Benefit Research Institute just published a study not long ago, and there has been a move. I mean, Tommy, you're right. If you realize you don't have the wherewithal, the easiest thing for you to do is to say, well, I'll just work longer. And we have noticed a bunch of people pushing back. In 08, to 14% of the people said they'd push back retirement. By 2010, 24% of the people said they were pushing back retirement. And there's been sort of over a five-year period, the people who have moved into the I'll retire 65 to 70 has gone from sort of 42% in 2005 to 48% in 2010. So people are pushing it back because it's a simple answer. But it's not an answer that's going to work for everybody. If you, again, back to my point earlier, if you haven't had a pretty lengthy conversation with your employer, remember there's a whole generation of people behind the boomers, Tommy, that are trying to step into those jobs, and they're tired of us sort of sitting in those jobs, and they're tired of waiting for us to leave. And so, you know, employers have got to be mindful of the talent issues they have. And so if you're going to work longer than, quote, notional retirement, 65, let's put a pin in it, at 65, then you're going to have to start having conversations with your employer now.
Well, doesn't it have to do with if you're really good at it, they'll keep you, and if you're not, you're going, whether you're 65 or 55?
Well, you raise, again, the good point. There are boomers that businesses want to keep. They're the keepers, and there are boomers that businesses just as soon see leaving.
Have the retirement party for them and give them the gold watch, right?
But, we're not many of us getting gold watches.
Yeah, that's true. Not with the price of gold or what we heard.
No. But remember, you know, the whole point is what you want to do has to match up with what your employer wants to do. If you're one of the guys that wants to get on down the road and your employer says, no, 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 then you need to understand that, and your employer needs to understand that. On the other hand, if you want to stay and he doesn't particularly want to see you stay there for a while, you know, you got to have that conversation as well.
How difficult is it for people to find out what it is that they want to do? Are there many people in your workshops who literally, now that they have all the time available, they don't know what to do, and they realize that, you know, the golf and just sitting in the hammock will be great for a week or two, but then afterwards they'll be bored. Are there people who find it really tough to figure out what is their dream and what is their passion?
If people work to think about what their dreams and passions have been, no, it's not that tough. I do think it's hard for people sometime, and that's why we like the workshop environment, because it gets them away from work, to think about it hard, and some people do have a hard time getting in touch with it, but many people in our workshops, Tommy, come away with a better idea of exactly what they're going to do, and it's not all about golf and visiting the grandchildren.
All right, well, give me some examples of what some of the people in your workshop have decided to do.
Well, because we have these workshops with around 20 people in them and they get insights from others, we've had people that came in and decided, because they had done some professional writing, decided to turn their writing around something else they had an interest in, which was the whole return to the local, what's it called, the locavore movement, and, you know, become a writer for a locavore. We've had a woman who decided to become a professional grandmother because she couldn't have grandkids of her own. So, yes, we've had people that have found a way, given our process and the insights that they draw from others, to come up with some pretty interesting plans.
Okay, baby boomers easing into retirement. Chris Armstrong, CEO of Life's Next Steps. Let's go to the phones. Wayne's on the line. Good morning.
Yeah, how you doing? I have a small problem.
Yeah.
I retired at 52.
Yeah. Why is that a problem?
No, it's not a problem, but, you know, we're talking 65, 70s, whatever age you're talking about. It was totally out of my mind, really and truly.
It was difficult for you to retire, you said?
It was not difficult. It was fantastic. You walk away at 52 years of age and say, thank you very much.
No. And how do you spend your time now that you're retired?
Well, there's golf, there's, you know, there's traveling, there's all kinds of good stuff.
All right. What, Chris?
Well, I think, you know, Wayne's blessed to be able to enjoy that. He's, and certainly, you know, if he's happy and those around him are happy, that's great. He sounds like one of those guys that didn't get as much out of work as some of the others of us, and so he didn't feel like he had to find other ways to employ his talent. So I wish him well, and I don't think he's necessarily, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't think he's indicative of everybody in the age group. So, you know, there will always be some people like Wayne who want to step out and are delighted, clearly, that they have stepped off the merry-go-round. And he's making a life based on golf and travel. Wonderful for him.
Chris, how did you get involved with this organization, Life's Next Steps?
Well, I think I set a date for my own retirement, not as early as Wayne did. And I was talking to my lovely wife, Suzanne. I said to her, darling, what are you going to do when we retire? And she looked at me with one of those wifely looks that tells me I was so far off the plan that I couldn't even get back on.
Yeah.
And we had lots of conversation, and we realized the point I made earlier, Tommy, that there was a lot of information out there around the financial aspects, but not much for the boomers, giving them a roadmap of what to do with their most valuable asset, which is, of course, their time. And so we've got to talking about it. She's a lifetime adult educator. She was educated at the U of T in their OISE adult education program. And so we began to work through how we might pull together something that played to her strengths and my strengths in terms of coming up with this roadmap program for the boomers. And we give workshops. Right now we give them in Toronto. If you want to check us out, www.lifesnextsteps.com, and you can register online. We've got one coming up in April.
Are you going to move it? Are you going to franchise it? Is it going to be coming to Montreal? Are you going across Canada? Are you going to be starting an empire, Chris?
Yeah, that's what I want to do with my retirement, Tommy. Yeah, I love it. We'd love to come to Montreal. We can actually do this in French as well as English, and you know, we'll see where the business takes us. You know, launching a business in 2008 probably wasn't the smartest thing I've ever done in my career, but there's always a glimmer on the horizon, and as I said, we're holding a workshop in April 13th and 14th, and we'd love to see some of your listeners there.
Good. Chris Armstrong, CEO of Life's Next Steps. Coming up tomorrow, Jared, sit on Pacioretty. We're going to ask the Tommy's Angels and the pundits about that. That's on Friday, of course, the Week in Review panel at 10 o'clock and at 11:30, Tommy's Angels. Right now, your questions about retirement, 514-790-0991. What's the biggest mistake? We're talking to Chris Armstrong, CEO of Life's Next Steps. They have workshops on the subject. What's the biggest mistake people make when they're planning for retirement?
I think the biggest mistake they make, Tommy, quite frankly, is they try to vague their way into it. I had a friend that said, you know, if you vague your way into something, your results are going to be just that good. So most people don't actually make a plan, and I think that's the biggest problem. They focus on the number, they focus on the financial aspects of it, they get to that day. You know, you and I have laughed a couple of times about the gold watch. Given the price of gold, they're not going to get that. But then they're sort of standing, or they wake up the next morning, they sit on the edge of the bed, and they say, what am I going to do now? You know, as you said, you know, the allure of golf and travel can wear off after a while.
That's very, very true. Chris Armstrong, CEO of Life's Next Steps, thank you very much. Keep in touch with us if you come to Montreal. We want to make sure we know all about it. A pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Tommy.
And right now, here in Stanley,